Track 2. Mark chats with Diane McClellan, who works for the Royal National Institute for the Blind in Glasgow. And she talks about recent developments in this amazing way of helping blind or visually impaired people with reading.
Hello, this is Mark with another interview for Chatterbox. This time we've come a little bit further afield, and I've got with me over Zoom Diane McClellan from Glasgow. And Diane has a very interesting job. For the last 29 years, she's been involved with Braille transcription and also more recently with teaching Braille. And this year is a very special year for Braille, as it's the 200th anniversary. So first of all, welcome to Chatterbox, Diane. It's great to hear those lovely Scottish tones down the Zoom wire.
Thanks very much, Mark. I hope your readers can understand me.
That's fine. You're coming across clear and loud. Good. Thank you. So if we could just start off, Diane. Tell us a little bit about your work as a transcriber. That sounds quite a different sort of unusual job.
Yeah, it was an accidental job route. I used to work originally in university libraries, and then I came across an advert for an evening class to learn Braille when I lived in Yorkshire. So I signed up for that, and that's I just loved it, and that's what I've done ever since. So I was part-time transcribing work for students at the University of Bradford, and then I was looking to move back to Glasgow, and a job came up with RNIB, and they were setting up a Braille arm to the transcription centre in Glasgow, and I got the job there, and it was a great team of people to work with, and it was just such an interesting job to do because you never knew what was going to come in the door. So we had a huge variety of work, and I think that's partly what I like about the job, but I also love Braille, and I don't know why, I just do.
And as well as transcribing all these various documents, you've also been involved with the teaching of Braille as well, I believe.
Yeah, so for the last 10 years, I've been working with the Scottish Sensory Centre, and they're based at Edinburgh University in the Murray House School of Education and Sport. And they're a charity, and they cover sensory needs for both hearing impairment and vision impairment, and mostly to do with education. So the course they run is a correspondence course. We do uncontracted and contracted Braille. The uncontracted course is a 3-month course, and the contracted course for UEB is an 18-month course. So it's quite long because there's quite a lot to learn with Braille, as you know.
I must interrupt you there and say, as a Braille reader myself, I kind of totally get how difficult it is to learn Braille. So it does take a lot of getting used to, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And because I learned at an evening class and I had a teacher and I could ask questions and I learned with other people, I think to do it as a correspondence course on your own is really difficult. So I always say to my students, if you're not sure of anything, ask. Because, you know, I was a learner at one point as well, and I've been in your shoes, and it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to learn, and a lot of people, I think they sign up and don't realise what they're getting into. So we kind of signpost people to UEB online if they're new to Braille, just to give them an idea of what they're going to be signing up for the Grade 2 course. So we take students in for that in April and then in September. So we have 2 intakes a year for the 18-month course.
Wow.
And it is. And what surprised me, Mark, and I don't know if you've come across this, is some people actually can't learn Braille. I never realised that until we did a little pilot course when I worked in RNIB, and it was for other RNIB staff or people in the area that were interested, and that was the first time I came across someone that couldn't learn Braille code, and I was really knocked back by that, and I just thought, because I could do it, everybody could do it, but that's not the case with Braille. So I'm now aware of that, and I can see the signs. and some of the new students.
You mentioned there about contracted and uncontracted braille. Can you explain a bit what that means to our listeners?
Sure. Uncontracted Braille is just straightforward letters of the alphabet and your punctuation signs and your numbers. And numbers in Braille are slightly different in that we use the same first 10 letters of the alphabet, but we put a particular sign in front of it, which lets your readers know this is a number and not a letter. So that's covered in the uncontracted course. And we do some basic things like monetary symbols, pound signs, addition, subtraction, some, arithmetical signs. And then all of that is covered in the contracted course. But once you learn your basic alphabet and contracted Braille, you then move on to using contractions. And these, it's a bit like shorthand, I suppose. Instead of one sign means one letter, you have one sign means a group of letters. So for instance, and for of that and with, we have one symbol for those in Braille. And all the letters of the alphabet stand for a word apart from A, I, and O. So, and we call them alphabetic word signs. So, for instance, letter P stands for people. So, if you're reading a bit of Braille and you just come across letter P standing on its own, that means people. There's various other ones. It gets quite complicated. And we have all sorts of
It does
funny
indeed,
rules that we have to stick to as well.
You also mentioned UEB, this
Mm.
Unified English Braille Code. I know there has been quite a lot of changes to Braille. Certainly when I learnt about 30 odd years ago, I learnt what they used to call Standard English Braille, whereas now it's the UEB Braille. Has that changed a lot for people?
Yes, I'm like you, Mark. I also learned SEB, Standard English Braille, and I found the change to Unified Braille Code quite strange
Yes,
because
absolutely.
we actually had to stop using some signs. So there are fewer signs that we use now in UEB, but for some reason it feels more complicated.
Yes, I feel the same.
So I think that the use of what we used to call the letter sign, and I used to think the letter sign was a very straightforward use of a sign. So we have a number sign, and then we also have a letter sign to stipulate that we're using a letter as a letter. In UEB, that is now called a grade one indicator. I find it slightly a different rule from how I used to use a letter sign. So in my head, I tell myself it's an off switch for contracted Braille. And that's what I tell my students if they're struggling with it as well. And if you meet this sign, then you have to put yourself back into uncontracted Braille mode and forget about all the contractions that you've learned. I suppose we have to use things like capital letters all the time, which it took me a long while to get into that because standard English Braille capital letters were optional. The sign for a capital letter was optional because people knew that if you started a sentence, you started with a capital letter. If you were writing someone's name, you started with a capital letter. But it's become a lot more tied into print now, I feel, whereas standard English Braille, Braillists within that knowledge base knew what things were, and you didn't need to actually stipulate it all the time. The only time we would have used capital letters if we were producing work for schools and children were being taught. But in standard English Braille, everything's got to have its capital letter sign, where it would
Yes,
have it
yes.
in print. And I just find that I know it's to make it easier for computers to transcribe print to Braille, but I find it's an unnecessary bulk, if you
It
know
does
what I
add an
mean.
awful lot more to the number of pages in a Braille book, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Yes.
and there's enough as is. But
Absolutely, yes. One thing I'm
I was more comfortable with standard English Braille, even though it changed a few times over the years.
Yes.
And when certain signs changed and rules for signs changed, and then they changed back again. And
They did, yes.
but I found it a bit disconcerting that with UEB, people's punctuation signs completely changed. And
Yes.
I think if you did that to the print world, they would go bananas.
Yes, I can only but agree.
Needs must. And you were mentioning earlier about how you've got this new computer system that and printer that will take stuff from the internet, you run it through and it prints it. And that is the benefit of UEB because there's less duplication of signs than there was in SEB. And that's I think where it came about from a lot of it was to make computer transcription more straightforward. So it's kind of doing its job.
Yes. And just sort of touching briefly on the 200th anniversary, how have you been marking that in Scotland? Have you been sort of celebrating any special events or marking it in any way?
Yes, with the Scottish Sensory Centre had a little day in November where we had a real sort of technology get together, and we had a lot of the people that use the Scottish Sensory Centre, lots of teaching staff from around Scotland and further afield came to that, and Sight and Sound were part of the day as well. So the people got to try out a page braille machine, and another drawing thing, and we had a panel of speakers to talk about braille, and then we had a little chat at the end with another group of people that were. I think Stuart from Sight and Sound and one of the heads of service from Edinburgh Council, who's a long-term VI teacher. And that was very successful. And then in January, we had an event at the Scottish Parliament. And we had, again, that was organised by RNIB. And we had various people there and MSPs. And we had a lovely harpist, Fiona Kyle. I don't know if you've heard of Fiona.
No, I haven't, no.
She played a Scottish harp called a clarsach, so she played a few tunes on that, and it was beautiful. And then it was just people having a chat, and it was a really good evening, similar to the one at the British Library, but smaller scale. So I
Yes.
went to the one at the British Library in November, and then the tour of the libraries has been going around as well. I don't know if you've had it nearby in Norfolk.
We didn't know, no,
So
unfortunately, no.
I think they visited the Mitchell Library in Glasgow, and they've had a unit for transcription for several years. That's probably why it went to the Mitchell, but that's the main library in Glasgow. I don't think they went anywhere else in Scotland, but yeah, we've had a few things
Yes.
going on up here.
It's amazing what we owe to the legacy of Louis Braille, isn't it? All those 200
Definitely.
years ago, and what a difference he made with inventing that Braille code back in his time. But it's been lovely to talk to you today, Diane. Thank you for your time. We wish you all the best with your future Braille teaching and transcribing work, which is so important for accessibility for us Braille readers. Thank you very much for talking with us today at Chatterbox here in Norwich, and we send greetings back to you all in Glasgow.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you, Diane. All the best. Thank you.
Bye.